Welcome to the 2106th broadcast of The White Way, a public service radio broadcast of Mo'ili Ili Honganji Mission, a Jodo Shinshu Buddhist temple. Today is Saturday, August 22nd, 2015. Our resident minister is the Reverend Bert Sumikawa, and our assistant minister is Reverend Blaine Higa. He and the members of our temple cordially invite you to join us for temple service and activities. If you go to our website at www.moililihonganji.org, you will find a map of where we are located and some information about our temple and activities. This morning's program is being sponsored by Mrs. Jo Demaray in memory of Ms. Edith Maeda. And our speaker is Mr. Alan Goto. Good morning, Mr. Goto.
Good morning. I'm grateful for this opportunity to address the Mo'ili'ili Honganji's White Way audience once again. This opportunity allows me to share my life on the Nembutsu path with all of you. In November, I will celebrate my 72nd birthday, and recently I have frequently had reflective moments about my life. Sometimes I describe my life in terms of an image of training for and running in the Honolulu Marathon. I did it 5 times over a 7 or 8 year period, with only the goal each time that I would be able to complete the 26.2 mile course. Beginning in February or March of each year, I would develop a training schedule that started by running 10 to 12 miles a week, gradually increasing the weekly mileage to 18 to 20 by May or June, 20 to 30 miles by October, and 35 to 40 miles per week by November, in time for the marathon in December. Throughout this training period, it was important to me to jog at a constant pace of 8.5 to 9.5 minutes per mile, yet knowing that I will jog the course much slower on marathon day, contingent on road conditions, rain, temperature, and humidity. All of this involved a demanding and exciting process of preparing and doing. And in retrospect, the process was most important, not the outcome. In addition, I became aware of the interdependent nature of the entire process. Running a marathon may appear to be a lonely individual effort at times, but it certainly is not. So many causes, conditions, and people contribute to my completing a marathon. The support of my family, the camaraderie of training buddies, the company I worked for, the organizers and volunteers of the Honolulu Marathon. Another activity in my life involving the importance of the process is ceramics or pottery. It has become a significant part of my spiritual or religious journey. In 1975, our first son, Sage, was born. For 2 weeks, I stayed at home to help my wife, Rosemary. It was my responsibility to prepare meals for her while she directly cared for and nursed our son. When I was not cooking and cleaning, I made very small ceramic pieces. Some 20 years later, I searched for an artistic expressive activity. I have little aptitude for music. I'm not confident in drawing or oil painting, and I was reluctant to buy the necessary equipment for woodworking. Therefore, I returned to ceramics with lessons and practice sessions at the Hawaii Potters Guild. Through ceramics, I have truly experienced concepts that are discussed in our teachings, such as the busyness of the calculating mind, or more specifically, a discriminating and judgmental mind. About topics like, what is beauty? Is one piece more beautiful than another? I experienced that there is beauty in imperfection. Perfect bowls can be manufactured in molds, and in the very end, I recognize that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Similarly, I am discriminating about what is functional and impractical. I seldom make decorative pieces, things that have no utility, things that cannot hold water. I usually make bowls, Japanese teacups, plates, vases, tofu dishes, etc. And if I make a cup or mug, I refuse to make handles for them because handles usually are the first thing to break off. Impermanence. Dried green clay pieces are very fragile. These are pieces that have not been kiln-fired. Its fragility is simply the nature of green clay. Unmindful and careless handling can easily break them, and even finished pieces may not last forever. In fact, more of the pieces used certainly increases its odds of breaking. Attachment. I am very much attached to my ceramic pieces. They're like my children. Each was made with the intention of creating a one-of-a-kind object. I need a few months after finishing a piece to be able to give them away. But when the opportunity to give a piece away as a gift occurs, the joy of sharing is satisfying and meaningful. Sense of community. The members, teachers, and students of the Hawaii Potters Guild are a community of people who share a common interest in ceramics and are willing to share their experience and talent with the larger community. This community is dynamic and purposeful. Recently, the members of the guild made and sold about 3,000 soup bowls with soup to support the Meals on Wheel program, resulting in a donation of about $50,000. Also, members of the guild offer outreach ceramic educational sessions for children. Intuitive sense of other power. There is a dynamic mystery about clay itself, and making ceramic pieces involves many steps. It is a relatively complicated process involving wedging, centering, creating or pulling a cylinder, shaping, bisque firing, applying glazes, and the final step of glaze firing. And when the large glaze kiln is opened and I see my finished pieces, I'm in awe and overwhelmed with the beauty of the ceramic pieces, especially when the final products are beyond my expectation. Each time that the finished pieces are revealed, I sense that I have experienced a real miracle. The entire process from a lump of clay to a beautiful object involves mindful effort as well as the mysterious and dynamic something that happens in a large kiln. This sense of awe and gratitude are expressed by the world-renowned potter Shoji Hamada from the book The Unknown Craftsman. Shoji Hamada says, "If a kiln is small, I may be able to control it completely. That is to say, my own self becomes a controller, a master of the kiln. But man's own self is a small thing after all. When I work at a large kiln, the power of my own self becomes feeble that it cannot control it adequately. It means that for the large kiln, the power that is beyond me is necessary. Without the mercy of such an invisible power, I cannot get good pieces. One of the reasons why I wanted a large kiln is because I want to be a potter, if I may, who works more in grace than in his own power. You know that all the best pots are done in a huge kiln. Through ceramics, I found that there is a component of self-effort, which essentially is simply a matter of practice, practice, practice. Not necessarily to achieve perfection, but to make ceramic pieces that are one's own. Don't we try to live our lives in that manner? Not to be perfect, but to be real and authentic human beings. And as Jodo Shinshu Buddhists, we have the opportunity to live our lives in grace, embraced by universal wisdom and compassion, never to be abandoned." And last Friday, I was reminded about a split second of impatience and inattentiveness that can cause harm and suffering to myself. While operating a table saw, I cut my right thumb quite badly. but with the expertise of hospital emergency staff and a hand surgeon, I should heal completely in about 6 to 8 weeks. I am well and lucky, and I did not lose my thumb. Thank you again for this opportunity to share my thoughts. And I will close with, may all beings be happy and well. May no harm or difficulty come to them. May they live in peace and harmony. Namo Amida Butsu.
Thank you, Mr. Goto, for your talk this morning. Now, if you'd like to listen to Mr. Goto's talk again, or if you have missed a previous White Way radio broadcast, you may now listen to their talks anytime via Mo'ili'ili Honganji's website, which is at www.mo'ili'ilihonganji.org. Just look for it on the White Way radio section. And now here are a few announcements. Tomorrow, Sunday, August 23rd, we'll have our regular 9 o'clock Sunday service, and our lay speaker will be Ms. Donna Higashi. The following Sunday, August 30th, there will be our 9 o'clock service, and our speaker will be Reverend Bert Sumikawa. But also on that same day at 9 o'clock at the Hawaii Betsuin, there will be Dharma School registration and the pool party. We hope many children are able to attend. Mo'ili'ili Honganji's 4th Annual Open House and Bazaar is coming up on Saturday, September 26th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Featured are an open house of the temple, preschool, and Project Donna. Also a rummage sale, plant sale, crafters, mini farmers market. There will be kapuna and keiki ID. Lots of food and games for the children are in store for everyone. Please start saving your gently used items such as clothes, toys, books, and household items such as kitchen goods and appliances for the rummage sale. Potted plants and food produce are also welcome. Please bring your items to the temple the week of the open house and bazaar. Your kokoa is needed as following. September 21st to the 25th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we will be sorting and pricing other rummage items. On September 25th, Friday, from 5 p.m. to 5:30, there will be mochi making and setting up for the rummage sale. September 26th, from 6:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., there will be food preparation and setup and cleanup after 1 p.m. An additional feature this year is a mini farmers market. There will be something for everyone, so please spread the word. Your kokoa is appreciated. Our annual chicken sale, chili and sushi sale will be held on October 11th. Tickets will be mailed out toward the end of August, so please watch for them. Thank you for your support. As we come to the close of our program this morning, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Ms. Jo Demaray, and our speaker, Mr. Alan Goto. On behalf of Mo'ili'ili Honganji, we thank you for listening. And please join us again next week for The White Way. Namo Amida Butsu.